We've been sharing about the importance of communication, our relationship with God and with the people in our life, and how important that is. Today is the last time we're going to share about that for this series. Next Sunday, we have Dan Pertini, who is an evangelist from Chicago, and he's the founder of Outside Church Ministries. I don't know if you guys remember him or seen him. You can Google him, you know, find it out, or whatever you want to do, however you want to look it up. But he's going to be here. He has a passion for, he's going to be here next Sunday morning. He's going to be here in the afternoon at 4 and in the Kingdom Advance School Ministry. And anybody's welcome to come to that. He's going to share there. And there's actually going to be an activation they're going to do. They're going to go do evangelism. And then in the evening, he's going to be with the youth and is going to speak with the youth. So we got a full agenda for him next week. But he's going to be here next Sunday with us. You know, we were sharing again about the, and Justin, if you could start the overhead there, a PowerPoint. You know, we've been talking about the whole thing of communication and the importance of communication. And last week we shared a little bit about how the scripture says for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And, you know, and we discussed how it's important that we look at what we're planting, the seeds that we're planting in our heart. We shared a little bit about how much our thoughts control what those seeds are, what we're thinking about, and in Romans 12:2 about we're exhorted to renew our mind, which basically that means renovation. And you know, in a sense, our entire life on earth, there should be renovation going on. Yes, there's settling, there's peace, and there's contentment, but there's still a renewing of our mind, because God is so awesome and infinite, we will never attain the fullness of Him in our thoughts and mind. We will never run out of Him to continue to know and to enjoy and to see Him work in not just our life, but other people's lives. I'm sure at times we've seen people, and it's hard to see God in them. It's hard to see God, even hope it's in them. But somehow God, he does. He comes in and he changes lives where we see there's no hope. And I encourage you, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that. It's hard to believe, you know, for different people, both publicly or in our personal life, that God can ever change them. But you know what? He can. He can do it. And you know what? Our prayers make a huge difference in that change. Our prayers, you know, if the enemy can come in and rob you of that hope that someone's life can change, he just robbed you of that faith, and he just robbed your prayer life. He just robbed you of potential of making any impact. So having that hope, and it's a point, you know, we can all be critics. Is it easy to be critics? The world's full of critics. But it takes character to look past things we may not agree with, things that are not maybe the way we want them, and look and say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Trying to see God in the midst of a situation. You know, that's different. That's not, you just can't see that in your flesh and blood or your own soul, your own thoughts. You have to look to the Spirit of God. Say, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? You know, another verse we shared was about watching over our heart. And you know, the responsibility of that is, yes, I believe as leaders, there's a responsibility that we are responsible to watch over that. That we make sure that there's a solid foundation, and that there's you know, that as far as we feel, there's air and stuff trying to encourage. But bottom line, every individual is responsible for themselves. You know, you are responsible to watch over your heart. I was sharing with somebody today this week, and we were talking about, you know, the Word of God. It's so important that our life is based on the Word of God. You know, experiences are great, but experience, living, building a Christian life on experiences is like building a diet on junk food. I mean, it's okay, but after a while, it's unhealthy. You know, it's not that we shouldn't experience. God is a God of experience, but it's important that that's not where our foundation, that our relationship with God is founded on His Word. You know, and I was sharing with this person. I said, you know, I think it's cool. There's great sayings. There's great quotes. And I mean, you guys probably know of these real cool sayings and all that. But you know, bottom line, there's nowhere that we ever said that somebody's cool quotes or sayings is going to last forever. It's just the Word of God alone. And I said, so I'm cautious that I don't base my Christian life on cool quotes and sayings of other people and not on the Word of God. Not that those things can't help you. Not that those things aren't good, you know, and they can help you understand His Word and they help move you forward. It's just that that should not be our foundation. It should be the Word of God. So, based on that, Jesus said this scripture. And as you know, how important are our words? How important are they to God? Does God really care? Well, Jesus said this. He says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, So by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You say, well, that's a pretty heavy scripture. That I'm going to give account for every word that I say. It's like, whoa. How many right now says guilty? I say guilty. I mean, I can raise my hand 100 times, you know. And again, anytime I ever share anything, I can say guilty. You know, somewhere guilty. I'm guilty. I bet God, I'm sorry. But why did he say this? Well, if you put this in context, because this scripture is right in context with the same verse that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because our words, if we're paying attention, our words are really, if we listen to what we're saying, they're directing our life. Because they're an expression of what's going on in our heart. And so really why there's judgment, why are words, is because our words are just expressing where we're going, what's going on in our life, what we're believing for. And so it's important, that's again why we should listen to what we're saying. And, you know, the whole thing with the Bible is that the reason God gives us the Bible is that we can store up the right words inside of us. You know, it's like at home, if you went, how many of you turned on a faucet this morning? A water. What were you hoping that would come out?
Water.
Aren't you glad sewage didn't come out? Aren't you glad that somewhere in this whole system of whether you built your house or whoever built your house, that they got the pipes connected to the right places and the right, well, you know, that's for us too. It's important that we got the pipes connected to the right places. That what's coming out is good, it's healthy, and it's not sewage. You know, it's not that. And you know who has control of making sure those pipes are connected in the right places? You do. And you know, you say, I don't know. Well, ask somebody for help. That's why we are part of the body. That we can help each other. You know, because sometimes we might think our pipe is connected to the right place, and it's like it's not. You ever been there? Where somebody's like, you thought that it was okay what you're doing, and then you realize, this is not okay. You know, I've been. You know, and you know what? Two of the powerful words you can ever say in communication is, I'm sorry. Yeah. Powerful words. You know, you might not even know what to do next, but just saying, I'm sorry, is so reconcilable between you and God and you and other people. It's so freeing and it's so defining. You know, I might say, Lord, maybe I don't know everything I'm supposed to do, but I am sorry for what I've said here. I'm sorry for doing that. Or I'm sorry. You know, you ever said, I know we talked about this last week, you ever said words that you're just sorry. And I just like to take a moment. I want to pray. And right now, and just welcome, maybe there's something that you know that you just say, God, I want to say the right things, and I'm sorry for not allowing my mouth, my heart, to speak your words. So if that's you, you know, just between you and God, we're just going to pray, and I just encourage you right now, between you and him, just saying, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for my mouth has not been dedicated for the right things. So Lord, we just thank you. We welcome. We thank you that as we heard so many times today, that you are a forgiving God. And Lord, you love us. And Lord, you want to help. You said you came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. And Lord, we just welcome as we today, we just say we're sorry, God. We apologize for our words that we've said that's not brought life, that's not brought strength to one's God and encouragement, that's not given one's direction in a healthy way, Lord, but stirred them into the wrong things, Lord. We say we're sorry. And we ask, God, for the forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to pipe our hearts into the good things, the right things, to be healthy, God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. There's a verse in Ephesians 4:29, says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but what is only helpful for building others up according to their needs." That's an awesome verse. I will repeat again. Do not let, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That word unwholesome means rotten, basically. Corrupt, bad. So don't let any of that come out of your mouth, but let whatever's coming out of your mouth, let it be things that can build people up. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't correction. That doesn't mean there isn't adjustment, but that's out of love. But part of that, again, goes back to what do you have stored up in your heart? Jesus said in John 8:37, he says that you have no room for my word. And it's one of those questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we making room for God's word in our heart? Do we have room for God's word inside of us? In that same section of scripture in Matthew, Jesus said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So the question is, what do you got stored up? What do we have stored up in us? What have we been gathering, or where have you been shopping? So as we're going along, you know, and you know, you go to the grocery store and you walk along, and how many have been to the grocery store? You knew what you needed, but once you got there, you saw other things like, oh yeah, you know. So I just went this morning. Grace is sick, and I knew we needed stuff, you know, the bananas and all this kind of stuff. And so I went out to Meijer early this morning and got some stuff. But then while I was there, it's like, oh, yeah, we need that, and oh, we're almost out of water, got this. And it was cool because God, not giving an excuse, but God had this divine appointment at the cashier person who knew me from way back a long time ago. I had no clue. I could not. I just was nice. It's like, yeah. But you know, we shop. Our life is like a giant shopping event. We're going along and we're picking things up and putting it into our storage bin, our pantry of our heart. And we're picking around. It could be, you know, well, what song do I feel like? Or what happened here? Or what's this person? How this person treated me? It's up to you whether you put that in your pantry or not. It's up to you whether you stick that in here or you say, no, I'm not going to have it. So it's good, it's important that we ask, Lord, I want in my pantry of my heart, I want stored up good stuff. Because out of that overflow is what your heart's going to speak. Out of that pantry, out of what's stored up, you're going to pull out the good, or you can grab a can of something that's expired and rotten and just like, yuck, you know, you grabbed the wrong thing. So how do we store up what's good from God? Well, first of all, there's a verse, and you know, sometimes your heart could look like this, or your life could look like that. Could just be sort of just, you know, and sometimes... Yeah. I took that this morning in my garage for it. Yeah. Okay, ladies, sorry, I don't want to stereotype, so we can have that, but how do we store up? Well, first of all, there's a sense in 1 Peter says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. It still comes down. You know, it still comes down to one simple thing. Who's in charge? Who is Lord of your life? If he is Lord of my life, Lord of my heart, Lord of my mouth, Lord of my mind, then it's not a matter of just going to run around and do whatever I want. It's like, Jesus, what pleases you? You know, I want what pleases you. It's not that I just want to run out there on a spending spree and with my life and my time and just buy whatever I want and put it in my storehouse. Jesus, I'm on your budget and I submit to you. What do you want me to buy? What do you want me to store up? What's healthy? What's good for my life? Because there is nobody who loves me more than you do. I don't even love myself as much as God loves me. And so it's a point that he has what's best for me. So one of the first things of storing up is that we have to value. We have to value it. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's in Matthew chapter 6. So the fact of, if I value God's word and I want to store it up, you know what? I'm going to treasure that. But if it's not something important, it's the same with people in our life. How much do I value God that would please? How much do I love the people in my life that I want to value them, that I want to store up good inside of me? Again, this is not something that I'm, you know, got the market on. It's like, Lord, I'm just as convicted and need help in this just as everybody else. Another one is you desire it. Is there a desire? You value it, then you take it in personally that now I desire that. Not just that I know it's important, but God, in my heart, I desire it. I want it. You say, but I may not feel that. That doesn't mean you have control over your feelings, over your will. You're not just some jello blob that puts it in any mode. You can allow yourself to be like that, but you have control over what's going on in your life. Another thing is retain it. Once I got it, I want to remember it. You know, these may sound familiar, but they are because if you look in Luke chapter 8, this is the parable, the sower and the seed. And it's the person who brought forth the good and produced the crop. This is why they did it. So they valued it. They desired it. They retained it. And then you live it. You know, you can have all this stuff and all this information, but if you're not doing it, you're deceived. It's like it says in James, we're just deceiving ourselves. You know, that's one thing I will say as a pastor, I will be very sad as 5 years from now if you're the same you are now. That's a sad thing. Unfortunately, I see it. And I said, Lord, help us not be a church that we're just the same year after year. Help us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Help us change and become Christ-like. Help us be like it. Help us to grow in you. I believe that's part of our role as a church, that we continually to grow and be transformed to be like Christ. The purpose of renewing our mind is not just to have a renewed mind. The purpose is so we can have a relationship with God and we can experience this abundant life. We could have the musicians come back up. So last question present is, which is pretty much, you know, you could ask these questions and you know, well, everybody's going to respond yes. So that's why I ask them. So anyways, ask the question is, who desires? You say, Lord, I want to be a better communicator. I want to have the right stuff stored in my heart. If we could go ahead and stand, if you would, please. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to put, your mouth is just like the faucet. It's your heart and your mind is where the pipes are. That's going to determine where things are coming and stored. So if you put one hand just on your head, one on your heart, we're going to pray and just welcome God. That's where being a good communicator is going to happen. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would help us to renew our minds. Help us to store good stuff in our thoughts and in our hearts. Lord, that we can pull out, even when we praise you and think about you, when we're around those you put in our life, that we can pull out from our storehouse good stuff that's stored up within us. Lord, it doesn't mean that we don't go through things and life doesn't have their hard times, but God, even in the midst of that, even when there's those blizzards and those hard days, God, as if it were in our life, God, that we would have a storehouse inside that we could pull from. And we could survive through those seasons, God. And we'd have ones in our life, God, that he can help and share from their pantries, God, from their storehouse, Lord, their sustenance, that they can help us even through those seasons. We welcome that, God. We thank you, Lord, that that's your heart, Lord. This is not something that man has created with some cool idea. It's you, God. This is all you. We thank you, God. And we give you glory. We welcome this day as we step into this week, Lord. Step out from here, God. That we'll be renewed in our hearts and minds, God. To bring glory to you. To bear good fruit for your purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to welcome our personal ministry team. These ones are up front here. I encourage you, you know, these ones are confidential. So if you share something with them, you know, it's between you, them, and God. And they're going to pray with you, whatever you want prayer for. If you've never made a personal commitment with Christ, I encourage you, you know, let this be that day. You don't have to understand everything. You know, one of our mission, and our mission is come, grow, and go. And the whole thing of the come is that you can experience that God loves you right where you are right now. You don't have to get all cleaned up, fixed up, dressed up. That he loves you right now, and you can always come to him. And as the body of Christ, that's what we're trying to do, saying we want to be God's hands and heart, that you feel welcome to come. So let these ones pray with you. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to close in prayer. And after we're done, try to find somebody, maybe somebody you don't know as well. Introduce yourself. Share with them a few minutes. So God bless you, and be the body of Christ.